see the King. There be no more sorrow there. We are going to see the King. Tell them there'll be no more sorrow there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
We're going to see the King.
Soon and very soon. Soon and very soon.
Tonight. I've been waiting for this all day. Skyler told me he's been waiting since Sunday. So I am happy to be here because, you know, just for a second, just for a small space of time, we get to come in here, drop everything, all the garbage, all the stuff we got to push through, the muck and all the crud, just to get back here so we can lift our hands and clap our hands and lift our voices up just to praise him one more time because he's been good. Brother Deskin, he's been good. He's just too good. When you see this thing just right, oh my goodness. I'm almost lost for words. And I'm just so grateful to be here. God bless you, sis.
Again, the body, the bride, and Pastor Moore, Brother Jeremiah, and Brother James, I am so grateful for you all. I came through that door. That message that we just received, oh my goodness, it hit the heart.
Yes.
And it was nothing but the truth. Nothing but the truth. But the one important thing that I want to do is that there was three words that you said.
Come on.
Pastor Moore. Mm-hmm. You said, you know, there's three messages that I have for my bride and my body. I may not say it the way you say it, but I will tell you this. I understood everything that you said.
Amen.
You said,
Amen.
You know, it starts off with reverence. Yeah. And first, I want to say, if I've ever, ever done any wrong to any of my sisters and brothers, God, please forgive me.
Amen.
If I've ever came into this place and disrespected, God, please forgive me.
Yes,
because I was not taught that way. I was taught when you come through the doors of Christ, you're supposed to give reverence. So I apologize if I've ever done that, Pastor Moore. Secondly, I am humble. I am. I mean, God has provided everything for me. Everything. And with the challenges that all of us are going through this world, you need God in your life. I don't know how people cannot have the Lord Christ in their life. And the third thing is that I want to manifest God.
Yes.
I know that Christ lives with me. I know that. But I also know that my flesh and spirit sometimes get in the way. But you know, God is greater in me. And I just want to thank you, Pastor Mark. I thank you very much for that message.
Amen, sister. Thank you for your testimony. Let's go ahead and sing song number 35, In the Presence of Jehovah, in the choruses. Amen. In and out of situations that tug of war in me, all day long I struggle for answers that I to his presence,
and
all my questions become clear. And for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere. Raise your hands and love him tonight.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, he's my Prince of troubles vanish. All hearts are mended when I'm in the presence of the
love.
Through his love, the Lord provided a place for us to rest, a place to find the answers in hours of distress. Now there's never any reason for you to give up in despair. Just slip away and breathe his name. Surely meet you there.
Hallelujah.
In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, my Prince of Peace, all my troubles vanish, all hearts are mended.
I'm in the presence of the King.
Sing one more time.
In the
You may be seated.
Amen.
I'm grateful to be back again. You know, I enjoyed Sunday's message so much. There was so much in that. And, you know, I was listening. We had that big TV, and I put it on the big TV, and it was real fun to watch. You know, Levi was sick, and he was sleeping, so I was just sitting there knitting and just like, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing, you know. And I was just thinking, this is a church of action, you know? Like other churches, they go and they listen to, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and then they go about their regular lives, you know? This is my life, you know? Like, this is my regular life. My regular life is revolving around the word, you know? And my job is to protect the word. And it hit me so hard. What can I do? What more can I do? You know, there's always more you can do. You know, you think there's, like that message, I was thinking, sometimes I think there's, what more can you hear? What more than every single service something else happens? I'm like, wow. And it was funny. It's the first time that I really, really missed Bible study. Because I was like, there was so much in that. And I love how every single person, you know, they get a little different view of it, you know? And I love how in Bible study you dissect that. And it was, you know, I was just thinking, thank God for Bible study, you know? Thank God for live stream. He has provided and provided and provided. Constantly, every time something comes up in my life, God's already provided, and it amazes me, you know. And I was just thinking how much I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. You know, since Sunday, every single day I wake up and I'm like, I'm just testifying to myself. Yesterday I was like, oh wait, it's Tuesday, you know, and I was like, I can't wait to get back to church, you know. I didn't have anything I was going to say, but I was like, don't let another service pass without me putting my seasoning in there. You know, I'm a part of this. You know, it's, what can I do? Okay, God asked me to testify. So I'm going to testify, and I'm going to do the best job I can there. You know, in everything I do, everything, even in my, you know, natural life, I do my best. I refuse to do anything less than best. What is the point of it if you're not going to give it your all? You know, and I was just thinking, I'm just so full, so grateful. I love this place so much. I love my family here. You know, the body, the bride. I mean, to know what I know. Sometimes, like you said, you take it for granted, like a spoiled child. My kids are a little spoiled. They don't know what they got. You know, I'm like, they go to the ice cream store and they expect to get their own flavor. When I was a kid, you got one tub and you got it scooped into a bowl, you know? And you just think, I am a spoiled child. You know, I know that Brother Childers had to go through it tough, and I'm just sitting here, you know, reaping the benefits, but I don't want to be so spoiled that I don't say thank you. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me, because he has done so much. And, you know, I'll say this too. It's Valentine's Day, you know. I'm thankful for my husband. You know, I'm thankful for the life we have together. I'm thankful that God put us together, that he gave me that man, because that man has done nothing but bless me and bless me and bless me. And, you know, I was thinking, bless me with my children. And that's, like I said, just natural. You know, my mom was talking about maybe in 10 years she'd look as good as somebody. And I was like, hopefully in 10 years you look 20. You know, like, I'm not trying to be here 10 more years. And I, you know, I'm so full. I'm sorry I'm talking so much. I love this place.
Amen. God bless you.
know, I'm not going to take a chance of Isaiah sitting me down. So, you know, like one time Brother Branham said, the hat has to be in the right place. So, yes. You know, I had a song, or we had a song that we was going to do Sunday. And I said, well, I really don't have a Sunday praise. God is God every day. And I said, and on a previous testimony, I said, there's no way I can do four things. And like Elise said, not bring it and not do anything. So let's go ahead and sing that song. The hat's in the right place. In other words, Isaiah's back there instead of back here. So we want to just sing a song right quick.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Lord, let me walk in.
Amen. Let me get the announcements out of the way. So thank you for everybody that showed up to the fellowship this past Sunday evening. February 24th, 4 o'clock, Reptile Expo. And then March 30th to the 31st, Kentucky meeting. And I am so looking forward to that because it's always nice. It's always nice to be able to fellowship with other believers.
Yes.
And, you know, we look forward to that. let's sing. Go ahead. There's time.
I just had to get up. I don't want to say sit on God. I want to say I want to stand up for God.
Amen.
And when the pastor preached that title day, that was an eye opener.
Amen.
And when you opened that book a little further for me and then said, what are you going to do to protect it? I don't know what I can do to protect it. All I know is I believe this word. And if I can do a better job of manifesting this word, then that's what I can do. But I tell you, this has been some powerful messages. And, you know, this is going way back. I can't even say how far back when you talked about how the Bible came about. And I've been thinking about that since then. And it's amazing that the Bible was written so long ago. There's the Old Testament. There's the New Testament, and then there's this eight-day Testament. I am just like, it's impossible, you know. It's almost impossible, but I believe it. And if you just follow it from way back then to here, and, you know, you guys have big numbers of following this message, and it gets newer and clearer. It's not the same thing every day. Even if it's the same message, it comes across different. And that's what I'm finding out about being here in the church. You know, it's just hard to believe that it's something fresh and clean every time you come to church. And I so appreciate that. And I just ask that you guys just keep me in your prayers. We all want to do the right thing, but I'm a struggling girl. I will struggle. And Pastor keeps hitting me from the right and then hit me from the left. But I'm still standing. That's the bottom line. I'm still standing.
Yeah, Micah.
Amen.
It's been a minute since I've been up here. I never seem to shake off that nervousness. It's funny how I can knock over almost a full-grown man, but not the nervousness. You know, one thing that was on my heart tonight was, you know, sometimes, you know, the devil, he'll have you at the throat. And I was thinking earlier today, because I had a lot of things hit me today earlier in school, and then I had this talk with my dad in the car, and he was like, you know, sometimes you got to come to the realization it's a Wednesday. You know, it's a Wednesday. This is going to happen. But I'm excited to hear what's going to be preached tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Appreciate the word. Appreciate the body very, very, very much. You know, I was thinking about so many things this week. my helper, he's kind of quiet, so I sit there and talk about testifying yourself all the way up to Pickle, all the way home, every day. And I'm just, this stuff is just rolling and rolling around, and he's just piecing it together so much. You know, he said if you'd be faithful in a few things, he'd reward in greater things. And being faithful in a few things is believe what you've got.
Amen.
Believe what he gives you.
Amen.
That's the only faithfulness there is to believe the word. That's the only overcoming there is to believe the word that he's given you. That's all he ever wanted. He said, when I come back, will I find faith? Somebody just believe him. You know, and it's been the same scenario all the way down through with everybody who's ever walked with God. They simply believed him. And, you know, the church world, after 2,000 years, they've made it everything but that.
Right.
You know, and it works. And struggling with the devil and working up on the rough side of the mountain and and everything. But, you know, an age of full light, there is no shadows. I was thinking about how that, you know, when there's shadows there, when there's not full light, you start seeing things. You know, your vain imagination starts running away with you, you know, and before God sent the flood, he looked at man's heart, and it's continually evil. His imagination is evil. And, you know, that's what man by himself will wind up doing. He's come here wrong. He's three realms wrong. What do you expect? You know, he's not going to pull to the light. There's nothing in him to pull to the light. But we are standing in pure light. No shadow of turning in him. He's, you know, it's a glorious, glorious time. You know, and you almost, some of these songs, you know, you sing and you say, I'm overcoming. I'm not struggling. I'm overcoming daily. I'm not, you know, I don't have questions every day. You know, I've got answers. You know, it doesn't change from when I'm walking through the day, dealing with things, or when I'm here. He's still with me. And I'm still an overcomer. And, you know, I'll come to forks in the road, and I'll make a decision. And if it's wrong, I'll back up, and I'll take the other fork, and I'll make another decision. You know, this is how life works. And some of this is just life. And, you know, but we know how to live life. We know how to overcome daily by the Spirit of the Sword. And the best thing you do is just plain believe His Word. Amen. It says you're an overcomer. Don't let anything else come out of your mouth. I'm an overcomer. Right. Oh, the devil got me down. He don't get me down. No. You know, that chicken, that rooster of mine, come running up behind me this week. I was walking up to the barn, just mind my own business. Here he come running up behind me, you know. Almost startled me at first, and I said, oh, it's you. I said, what do you want? You want to dance? And he flared up, you know, and I kicked him over a little bit. And it sounds like I'm mean, but, you know, I'm playing with him. But most of the time, I don't pay no attention to him. He's over there doing his thing, whatever, you know. And most of the time, I just walk along, don't give the devil time of day. I got no dealings with him. Light has no fellowship with darkness. It's just the way it is. That's the word of God. If I'm looking for him to, you know, I think a lot of times the grandkids will go out there and they're scared of him, you know. I think that's what eggs him on. I think that's what eggs the devil on. You know, God's the author of peace and rest and joy and happiness, and the devil's the author of fear. Well, it should tell you something, you know. But, you know, I don't want to sound like I just never have a problem. I do have problems, but I know how to deal with them. Amen. Everything that comes along, I know he's there. I know I deal with him, you know, and he deals with me. He talks to me, and he, you know, he always equips you. You always got everything you need. You know, sometimes it's what happened, what was said in the last service. Sometimes it's how he dealt with you, you know, a few minutes before. But, you know, he's always there. This is the age of full life. This is the age of overcoming. This is the age of brides on her feet. You know, and devil's, you know, he's just a chicken. He's got no stinger. He can't touch her. We've already overcome. We're already in the rapture. He's not going to mess us up. He's not going to mess me up personally. You know, I'm a strong man. I'm a serious believer. Amen. You know, I come find out that's how you overcome, by believing the Word. And anytime you have a struggle, somewhere you're doubting the Word. I have to say it. Yeah. You know, every time, just talk for myself. Every time I have a trouble, I'm doubting the Word. Every time I'm struggling and not sure, I'm doubting the Word somewhere. And if I can just back up and look at it and say, you know, where did I doubt him? And I get right back in the line and say, no, Lord, you said you would. You would provide everything I need, you know, and you've given me every answer. And, you know, I just can't say it's strong enough. And it's not being arrogant. It's not saying I don't have problems. It's not saying I'm not flesh. And, yeah, I am. But, you know, that he's right here with me through it all. Through it all. I don't have to be glorified to be happy. I'm happy as a coon on a log right now. You know, I don't know how I could be any happier, any more content. And I almost feel like am I looking at this right, you know? But I look in the Word, and that's what it says. Look over here. That's what it says, you know? And I'm thinking, well, that's what I am. The Lord says I'm righteous. I'm righteous, you know? And in humility, you know, you talk about humility. We've seen plenty of false humility around here. Not mention any names at all. But, you know, Brother Childers, right after he's dealing with things in the church, and he's getting right all in the devil, you know, he's putting people in their place and everything, and they come to him, you need more humility. He said, I'm the most humble man you ever saw. You know, humility is humble to the Word. And the Word makes you bold. So figure it out. You know, you're strong. Strong Word, you know. But yet humble to it. And I'm so thankful for what we see today. Amen.
Thank you for the testimonies. Appreciate all the testimonies and everything. You know, we don't major on minors in here, you know. And, you know, we might get down, but we don't stay down, you know. Because what's coming around the corner is greater than what I had to press through. So let's sing song number 98, We Need to Hear From You. Because we need to hear from him. This is a pressing hour. We need every word we can eat. And then we'll get him up. God bless you.
We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. If we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting
why we're here tonight, Lord. We came to hear from you, see you in action, see you testify, to hear you preach this word to us. Because your Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and how can you hear except it be preached? So Lord, here we are one more time asking you to move both the preacher and the hearer out of the way. Speak to our hearts, reveal your word to us, make it brighter, give us the next marching order, so to speak. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, that we have here tonight. Not just playing church, but Lord, we're really here knowing we're going to hear from God. Be with this bride, Lord. Touch her needs, or her physical needs, or mental needs, or spiritual needs. Lord, you know every and each need, and you said, I am the Lord thy God that provides all your needs. Yes. You said, by your stripes we're healed, and we thank you for that. Be with them in Kentucky, Lord. Brother Trevor and Sister Tina and family, Lord, touch their bodies. And Lord, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that wants the next marching order. I'm the one that could step up the next step, Lord. But I know because we're believers and we're called by you, we will do that. Have your way the rest of the service. Thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be here. And see your faces. And get ready to let God talk to us some more. That's why we really are here. I come for the word to see God and let God deal with me. What I cut my teeth on. So it's good to be back, and as Isaiah said, enjoyed Sunday night too, and appreciate Brother James and Sister Courtney opening up their place. That's a sacrifice. You know, no matter how much somebody helps you clean when they leave, you're still doing something after everybody leaves. It's just the way it works. That's not an insult to the people, because people try to help you, but there's always a little things you got to do to get ready, and a little things you got to do after people leave, no matter how clean it is, and time, the effort, the energy, and everything. So we're appreciative, and God bless them. It's good to be back, and the church here, and excited about the message of the hour, the word of the hour, excited about what we've been hearing preached to us. And, you know, I was gone last week, and I know James preached up a storm, and Brother Moore preached excellent messages on Sunday. I'm going slow because I could have so many things I could say about all of the above. So I'm just taking my time here to see where the Lord wants to go. But, you know, I was like a lot of you, you know, we were talking about those angels on Sunday. You know, I've heard about cherubims and everything before, but not quite like I'd heard of Sunday, you know. And it was quite amazing to me to see those cherubims go from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and how you can connect them to even the four beasts up here. And even deeper than that, you connect them right here. Because, you know, we've had a talk here before. You know, an angel, by definition, is a messenger. And, you know, that's really a definition of an angel. And we're all messengers of God. Now, there is Michael the archangel, there's Gabriel the archangel, there's cherubims in the spiritual sense of what we think that we have. We know that, but you're also an angel. And that's why Brother Morton in closing was, you know, talking about us. You know, we're angels too, and we got a job to do. And but just to see them connect from Genesis to Revelation, and the lion and the ox and the face of the man and the eagle. And how even in Ezekiel, when he looked, he saw those same images. Right. In the book of Ezekiel. I mean, and you know, I've always said it, God's Bible runs, it runs, and it runs. And the more you look at it, the more you get amazed. He's the greatest author there ever has been. He's the greatest. Thank you. He's perfect. There's nothing that doesn't match. There's nothing that doesn't meet. You know, that tabernacle in the wilderness that Brother Moore was talking about on Sunday. And that's not my message tonight, but even it, there's three layers to it. Amen. You know, when God told Moses to build, there's an outer court, and then there's a holy place, and there's a holy of holies. Amen. Now, do you think it's coincidence that there was three? That's God's number, right? And we know that. And which one do you think was the holiest of holies? It was the inside of the inside. I mean, and where's your holy of holies at? Your holiest of holies, where God's sitting, is right here on the inside of the inside. And so God, in the Old Testament, there were so many things. You know, he dealt with Israel naturally. But in all those things he was doing naturally, he was really using it as types and shadows of what he really wanted to do up here in reality with the bride in that sense. And that was real back there, but those were just types and shadows of what he was really trying, his whole story was. Amen. And it's amazing to me sometimes to see how God puts it all together. And I, like you, you know, left here excited after Sunday, you know, and about many things, about the angels. But you know, I'm a type of person when God reveals something to me, it's always like that statement, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And, you know, yeah, it's free in the sense I'm free from law and I'm free from condemnation. That's true. That's part of that scripture. But for me, sometimes that freedom I'm talking about is this thinking up here. Amen. It's this battle of wondering what it might be. Because, you know, that's binding sometimes. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Or how should I do it? Or how does this work? Or how does this go together? Not that I'm struggling every day of my life, but until God reveals something to you and it's not clear, you don't know how to put it together and tie it. Amen. But when God reveals something to you, oh my, that's where the authority comes in. That's where you can step out on something. That's when you know something and you can then talk about it a little bit. You know how to explain it. You know where God's going. And so that gets me excited. When the first time it got revealed to me that I could take my loved ones, that made me free. In a sense, I was like, wait a minute, I thought this had to happen, or I thought this had to happen first, or I thought they had to come in here and sit here for 20 years, or whatever rule I had on it. But when God revealed to me that there might be some of my loved ones that never graced these doors, but because I have a token I can apply to them, that when that become clear to me, it excited me, and I could step out on it and talk about it and apply it and use it in my life. See, coming to church and listening to this message doesn't really do you much good if you're not going to take it and apply it to your life.
Amen.
Believing is just the start.
Right.
Now, the only evidence there is belief in every word of God.
Right.
I'm not changing the evidence on you. But I will tell you, believing the word is just the start.
Amen. That's right.
Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe the word of God? What are you saying, Jeremiah? Well, I'm looking for somebody that really eats that word and it becomes one with them and it starts manifesting in their very lives. It will show. And that's what God wants. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I was talking a little bit with Skylar last night and I told him, Skylar, my goal is to stand behind the pulpit the whole time I preach tomorrow night, so that's already failed. But you know, at home, I am free. But you know, there's some people, when I preach, I want to stand behind the pulpit because it helps them. And I don't want to hurt them. And if me stepping out here and walking all over the place says he's not in order, and that's what catches their attention instead of the word I'm talking to them, you know what I'd rather do? I'd rather stay right here, and if that means I gotta just do this, that's what I'd rather do, because that's my job. You want to talk about protecting the word? I want to promote it. I don't want to hurt it. I want it to be the first thing you see, so to speak. I want it to be the thing that's coming across to you. I don't want myself to get in the way of that word coming across to you. I'd rather sit down and quit before I'm going to hurt God's word. That's the desire of the bride. So Lord, help us with this message tonight. St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I'm going to start with verse 16. I'll get down to the meat of it here for a minute. It's a little bit of reading. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, and they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, some people want you to really know they're sacrificing. God ain't after that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast.
Amen.
They won't even notice.
Right.
You're not doing it to be noticed.
Right.
You're not doing it to make a name for yourself.
Amen.
That's part of humility right there. But I got to keep moving. But right there, you're talking about humility. That's just humility right there.
Amen.
Look at me.
Right.
Look at all I've done.
Right.
Well, what are you doing when nobody sees you?
Amen.
That's a better question. When nobody sees you but between you and God. That's what Jesus is talking about right here. That's what he really wants. Is do you love me? Or is this just a show? Is this for popularity? Is this to be liked, or is it because you actually love me? That's what he's saying here. In other words, hypocrites, Sadducees, Pharisees walk around with their chest puffed out. Look what I've done. Look how many scriptures I know. Look how good I've lived. A real believer is not talking like that. If you see anything good out of me, thank God, because it's by the grace of God. And it's just him and me having a personal relationship. And it's only by his leadership and his guidance and his dealing with me that you even see anything good come out of me. That's what a believer will say. Thou appear not a man, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God will reward them that diligently seek him. He'll take care of all the details. You ain't got to worry about it. You don't even got to let Brother Moore, you did something. You know what God will do? He'll put him right up here, and Brother Moore not even planning on saying it, and next thing you know, God put it on his heart. I want to thank so-and-so for doing such-and-such. That's how God will work. He'll talk about it openly, because he'll know your heart. And if he doesn't, it doesn't mean he doesn't know your heart. It doesn't mean he has to talk about everything you do. I'm just saying that's how God will do it sometimes. And let me move on. Now here's where I'm starting to get to where I want to get to. Lay not up for yourselves treasures up on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures. See, it's hard to read the scriptures sometimes and not preach. I'm just being honest with you. But I'm going to keep going because God knows what he's got to do tonight. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Remember that one, because we'll come back to that one. For the light of the body is the eye, and if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. God or the world. May God add blessings to the reading of his word. My title tonight is Where is Your Treasure? Now, God's been good to us. And we have so much revelation here. And it's like Brother Moore was saying Sunday sometimes, talking even about myself, you can have so much revelation, be so spoiled, you can get complacent. You know, even in the day we live, you know, Brother Moore one time found that quote, Brother Branham said that one of the things that we would have to battle this day and age is the pressures of easy living. And, you know, in the natural, we went through them, DoorDash, Amazon will deliver for you, microwave, cell phone, robotic sweeper, on and on and on, cars that'll drive a little bit for you. I mean, it's all over the place. And it's the nature of the age. It's just the time, and it's what science has generated out of God's creation, and it's all around us. And, you know, but you can go spiritually, and the devil will try to sleep, you know, rock you to sleep with the same thing. Because he'll give you so much revelation. God will. Not the devil, but God will give you so much revelation that the devil, you know, you almost give in and say, I ain't got nothing else to do. We're in the eighth day. I'm sitting here relaxing. And when we know on one side of the coin, that's a very true statement. This is a relaxing time. We're not getting saved by works. The body's been built. We've come through threes. We've come through sevens. But I'll never forget Brother Childers sitting right there in that front row saying sometimes, one time he asked himself, what else is there to do? And God told him, he said, but there's a bride age. There's an eighth day age. That means the bride's still alive. And as long as we are on this earth, there is something for each and every one of us to do. Now this treasure, we have the greatest treasure there is on the face of the earth. Think about that for a minute. I don't have to convince you. I could get you up here and you'd testify right now. Let me give these elders about 2 minutes. They wouldn't even be able to get through a second of how much they know what they got. We've got, first and foremost, eternal life. I mean, let's just start right there for a minute. And that really is a treasure. We got God. We have His Word. We have His message. We know what He's doing. When the rest of the world don't, we know we're going in a rapture. We know we're already in a rapture. We know we can take our loved ones. We know we're in the eighth day. We know we can't live good enough to make them, bad enough to miss it. We know we have a theophany waiting on us if we die before the rapture. We know we're getting a glorified body. We know about the three rims. We know about the one coming of the Spirit. We know so much and taken so care of. We have the greatest treasure there is on earth. And think about what that treasure's done for you and what it's meant to you. It's changed your entire life. It's given you direction. It's got you out of messes. It's got you out of condemnation. It's lifted you up when you were down. I hear you saying amen. Let me just say, it's lifted me up when I'm down. It's helped me fight mental battles. It's helped me get jobs. It's taught me how to be a worker. It's taught me how to be a husband. It's taught me how to be a believer. It's taught me how to be a family member. It's taught me I'm going to heaven. It's taught me His name was in the book before the foundation of the world. I wouldn't be who I am without it. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And I think I can hear your amens and you're agreeing that it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. But you got to ask that question for yourself. Because wherever your treasure is, you'll protect it. You'll guard for it. You'll keep it. Now, you know, I want to give some easy, simple, natural examples. I was thinking a little bit this week. I've said this before. I'm talking natural because it's much deeper spiritual here in a minute. I'm going to get to spiritual, but I love my wife and my three kids an awful lot. Not a creative nickname. We call ourselves the Allen Party of Five. And you know what I do, Brother Destin? I protect that treasure that I love. I protect to spend time with it. I could go out and golf every night, so to speak, because I like it. But I don't want to. You know why? I want to be home and see my wife and see my kids. I protect that time. I could spend money on myself only or buy things that I want, but then I wouldn't be able to buy them things that they need. I protect that money because I love them. And I want to give to it. Amen. That you get my point. Amen. And I was thinking, and I'm going to use you for a minute, Brother John. You'll laugh at this, but Brother John treasures much more in his yard, but he loves his yard. He treasures his lawn. Sure. But this will sound funny to you because I'm going to use it as an example. When he sees a weed in it, he don't like it. And you know what he does? He goes to work getting rid of that weed. But here's the other reason why I want to use an example. He's not perfect in all those weeds. When I go to his house, he can actually point me to where he knows where there still is one. Oh, yeah. My point in saying that is even when you may not be perfect with something you treasure, but when you treasure something, it shows. There's a difference when there's one or two or three weeds in John's yard versus all you see is nothing but weeds, if you get my point. My point in that is I'm not saying we're going to be perfect walking everyday life and doing everything right, but if your treasure is God, and your treasure is this word, and this treasure is this message, it will show up somewhere, somehow, some way. And you will care about it, and you will protect it, and you will do everything you can to make sure you guard for it and put it first. You do it in the natural. And you know what? I'll go back to my family. Sometimes I've come home grumpy, and I've gotten upset, and I've gotten all out of shape. I haven't done everything right just because I love them. I mess up plenty of times. But I promise you, you come around me, you'll see much more. It'll show up how much I love them. You go to John's line, I promise you, it'll show you up. You'll be envious that your yard don't look so good.
Right?
Now, it doesn't mean he don't got one or two weeds still, but he loves his yard.
Yes.
So he protects it.
Right.
And he works at it.
Right.
And he gives to it.
Yeah.
And he cares about it.
Yeah.
And how much more around the Word of God,
amen,
the greatest thing that we all just said has happened to us.
Amen.
Should that treasure in our lives mean that much more to us? It should be first place in your life.
Amen.
Quite honestly, Brother Morris preached this plenty of times. I'm not telling you anything new. God don't accept anything less than first place.
Amen.
He knows when he's second. He knows when he's third. He knows when he's fourth. He wants first place. What is the threefold purpose of God? First, it was God in Christ. He wanted to reveal himself to people. But what was the secondfold? He wanted preeminence in a body of believers. He wanted somebody that loved him and wanted to do what he wanted them to do. Now, I got a few things to say because we're balanced. You're not going to work your way to heaven. That's what's so great about this, brother.
Right.
Brother Dustin, this ain't works in the sense that goody two shoes. I'm not even really trying to get you to focus too much on that. I'm trying to tell you, where's your treasure? What do you love? What do you protect? What do you give to? Brother Moore told us Sunday those angels' jobs, they were protecting that Ark of the Covenant. They were protecting God's Word. They were protecting the Tree of Life. All the same thing, it's just God, it's Jesus.
Amen.
That was their job.
Amen.
You know, those angels really were created for it.
Amen.
That's right.
And we have a job to do too. And our treasure is something that we want to give to.
Amen.
I mean, this is where your friends are. This is where your real family is. Now, I say that because I know we have natural family we love, and there's nothing wrong with that. Well, I'll just tell you what Jesus said one time. Who is my brother? Who is my mother? It's those that do the will of the Father. Another way to just word that for you, in case the will of the, you say, what's that mean? Those that believe the Word, they love the Word. Because God's will is His Word. That's what Jesus was saying. And that's how I feel about this body. That's how I feel about this body. This is my real family right here.
Amen.
This is the ones alive with me.
Amen.
The one in the trenches with me. The one that I need to, I want you to have a sword in your hand just like I got to have a sword in my hand.
Amen.
I want you to have a shovel. You know, when we dug holes before around here, it always felt good when there was an extra shovel.
Oh, yeah.
And when you get somewhere and you're thinking, oh my Lord, that is a lot of work for just one or two people to shovel. That's James's new trick. He tries to invite everybody he can when it's tough work. And I understand it. Because when you're in the trenches and you got, and you're ripping off a roof or something in natural, that's hard. That takes. It's a little bit like one can send off one demon and give me two or 5,000, whatever, the three, 10,000. That's how, that's what I want. That's what God's wanting. Get a shovel. Start protecting. Grab your sword. Start swinging. We got 200 million demons around us. And like Brother Destin says, they ain't really no fight for us. But if you got your sword down, they'll wear you out.
Amen.
You got to know who you are. So I wanted to start with that scripture. Because when you treasure something, you take care of it, Brother Moore. You take care of what you treasure. Skylar likes his car. As he should. It's a nice car. You know what he does? He takes care of it. You know what this body of believers does? They come to church every Sunday. They come to church every Wednesday. They want to be part of what's going on. We should want to help. That's what believers do because you treasure it. If you treasure it, it shows up. Now, you can't serve God in the world at the same time. Just want to make a few points to us. You know, I was thinking as Brother Moore was preaching on Sunday, because he made some strong comments. You guys testified about it, that he wore you out. Well, is what you basically said. Me too. You know, if you come to church and don't look for how it applies to you, you're wasting your time. You should be here saying, Lord, help me. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. See, that's why I told you I'm excited. It's clearer to me after Sunday morning what I need to be doing than what it was before Sunday morning. It's clearer to me this Wednesday night what I need to be doing than it was yesterday. Because God talks to us. He deals with us. I really do believe that God is talking to us. Amen. Service after service, giving us His word, giving us instructions. Amen. And when I can see it, Lord, I want to step up. Yes, sir. I don't want to sit down. I want to stand up. I want to step forward, like Sister Mel said. Yes. That's the desire. And you know what? I might, before I get the one step, fall down. But you know, you better believe what my heart is. I'm going after that thing. Because I love God. Amen. I love His word. I love what He wants to do, but you can't serve God and the world at the same time. And Brother Moore was even talking how close we are to getting out of here. Now's not the time to worry about fitting in with the world. You love God, I love God. I'm not trying to fit in with the world, I'm trying to fit in with God. I ain't worried about this world's popularity. They don't even know how to do that right anymore anyhow. You can't say anything's wrong anymore. You can't say anything's right anymore. Everything's got to be in this neutral air. They don't even know how to handle anybody or anything. They're so gray about everything. Can't call a man, a woman. Can't call a girl. They're so full of nonsense. I ain't trying to fit in with that. I'm trying to fit in with what God's word says to me. I'm about getting out of here, and it's too late of an hour for me to worry about this world. My kingdom's not here. My kingdom is there. I'm leaving this place. I'm going to come back, but not in this condition. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Set your affections on things above, not on things below, as Paul said, because that's where your real treasure is. I'm not here trying to worry about if I fit in. You know, it applies to you at school. It applies to you at work. It applies to your whole life. We all like to fit in. We all like to be in the in group. I don't care if you're 43, 8, 63. There's a peer pressure about fitting in somehow, some way. It just changes as you get older. But I ain't here worrying about if they like me anyhow. I ain't worried about if you think I dress funny. I don't care. I'm going to dress for God. Amen. I don't care if you think I have too long of hair. I don't care. I'm going to have hair for God. Amen. I don't care if you think I should be wearing shorts. I got pants on because I'm going to dress for God. He said, this ain't clothesline religion. I'm just giving you an example. I ain't trying to fit into this world. I'm trying to do what God wants me to do. Fitting in's overrated. You end up disappointed. Every time. But you know, the only thing that don't leave you disappointed is this. Yes. God's word. God. Yes. Where else can you go, Sister Mel, and hear a message titled the same message and it preached different and it seemed like it's brand new to you? Yeah. You get a word after word upon word upon word that never grows old, that never dies, that never changes, that's always come through for you every single time. That's a real treasure right there. That's what I want to stand on. That's what I want to fit in with. That's what I want to serve. I ain't after this world and its treasures. It's going to fade away anyhow. It's only a vapor. Going to last for a little bit, but I had no beginning and I had no ending, and that's what I'm really about. That's how we all should feel. That's how a believer does feel. The world is not my God. I ain't trying to worry about it. I got to figure out how to get through it. God can help me get through it. He'll give me, say, do it this way, do it this way. He'll help me get through it. And Him help me get through it might not be even what you think I should do, but God will help me get through it. That's one thing. Let God give you permission to how to get through it. See, the problem that people have is they don't get permission from God. They go after their own thing. But you can get permission of God, and He'll give you an answer you didn't even think He'll give you. But once He gives you permission, He'll bless you and see you all the way through. Amen. Think about David. He wanted that ark back so bad. That was a good thing. But you know what? He didn't get the permission to do it the way he did it. And that was a good thing he's trying to get done. How could the ark be out there? And I'm up here in this kingdom, living like a king. And my God, that ark, because that's where You know, in that tabernacle of wilderness, in that holies of holies, God was right there in that ark. That's where God dealt with him from. The ark today is just God. It's the Word. It's Jesus. Just has another term. And so David was like, I want that where it belongs. I want it to be taken care of. Problem is the Levites, the priests, were the only ones supposed to handle the Word. Amen. You know, today, the only person that should be a preacher is the one that's called. That's right. Not everybody's meant to preach. That's just to bring it up to the day for you. But in the Old Testament, God set a pretty strong rule. The Levites are who touched that ark. Oh, yeah. And here David was, thought he had a good idea. And it's sincere. Loving God. Right. Trying to do God a service. Right. Without it being his will. Amen. And he went down and he sent people that weren't priests. And the guy that touched it first died. Right. God killed him. Right. Wiped him off the face of the earth. And David almost got mad at God. Here, I'm trying to do something good for you, God. And you kill the man. God basically said, David, you didn't ask permission. It wasn't according to the Word. You need to ask how to do it. You need to know how to do it right. That's not what a believer should do. And I'm not saying you got to go to pastor about every single thing, but a true desire heart of a believer is, Lord, what do you want out of my life? Because you know what we can do, what Jeremiah can do, because I'm in the eighth day. And I know grace. I could just walk around like nothing matters. Get complacent. Not worried about a thing. And you know what I'll end up doing, Brother Deskins? I'll take this treasure I have. The greatest message in the world. Think about it. I know we all believe that. I know how we testify. I know how we talk about it. And you know what? I've even been a lot of places and haven't seen them have the message in Revelation the way I hear it in here. Amen. We have something great. Greatest thing I know of. Amen. To give people. Amen. But because I'll not care what I do, people won't even see what this great treasure I have. They get stopped. Amen. Because of what I'm doing. Amen. Because of how I'm acting. Because of what I'm expressing. Because like Brother Moore says always, don't try to sell me a sweeper if you don't want one yourself. Amen. Don't try to sell me this message if it ain't changed your life and done something for you. That's another way to word it. And you can hurt this message in a sense. Now, you don't hurt the revelation. The revelation is the revelation despite what you do. But the impact it can have on somebody else's life can be impacted by what you do in front of them. And that's why it's so important to guard this treasure, to protect this treasure, because I want as many people as can get a hold of this treasure. And I don't want what I'm doing to stop that opportunity. And I know God won't lose any of his, but who is he working through? Man. He's going to use you to touch people's lives. So it does matter what you do. Talking about how great this message is and how great Brother Branham is and people loving what you preach. And you just show them everything. You hurt. That's not protecting. Brother Moore reminded me on Sunday. I hadn't thought about the three levels of protection for a long time, Brother Moore. And I'm going to say it moving on, but there's protection to this thing. And that's what guarding about this thing is. It does matter what you do. We're too close to the end, people. To worry about fitting in with this world. I'd rather keep this treasure, protect this treasure, and lose all my popularity than to trade my gold in for wood. As Brother Lynn would say. Brother Branham is talking here. In 1961, Revelations chapter 4, he says, now everybody can't be a preacher, but you got a voice. And if you can't preach the people a sermon, if you're a preacher, you're called to the pulpit to preach. But if you're not, you're still a preacher. But live the people a sermon. Let your sermon be lived. Now listen to this. Let your sermon be lived, and it's the voice of God that'll bring reproach to them who reject it. You hear what he just said? Your life sermon is the voice of God to some people. Because what has Brother Bram said in another place? The only God that some people are going to see is the God that's in you and me. Now, I'll slip this back in here, just to remind you, you ain't living good enough to make it to heaven. You ain't living bad enough to miss it. Works don't save you. Works have never saved you. You're saved by grace through faith that no man can boast. I want to just keep reminding you, I ain't talking about works for salvation and works to be goody two shoes. You know what? I'm never going to be the so-called goody two shoes people want me to be. Because it's just not what God's asked me to do. That's not what He's expected of me and what He's asked me to do. But what He has asked me to do is, Jeremiah, protect, guard. Don't hurt the message. Do your part to promote this message and let it have its best foot forward. And that will mean different things for each and every one of us. We're still not a top, you know, people, I always say they have their top 10, right? And their evidence is revolves around that top 10. And you'll do 9 of the 10, but you won't do 1 of them. And you have lost your salvation in their mind. And then they miss all these 30 other things you're doing. And that's a bunch of nonsense and a bunch of garbage. And it's a bunch of law and a code of rules and a bunch of creeds and dogmas around it. But there is a side of that that God uses to manifest Himself, to inspire people. I got a good quote for you here in a minute. Works don't save you, but works can inspire somebody. That's right. Is what they'll do. God will use it to inspire somebody. And so there is a part of it where we got work to do, and we don't want to just act like nothing matters. We got a job to do to protect this word. And you may never do any of my top 10, but you need to protect this word. So let me keep reminding you that this ain't laws. This is a love relationship with God. This is, where's your treasure? Where's your heart? What do you care about? What do you want to protect? What do you want to put forward? That's the question I'm asking. I got plenty of things that I know are wrong. And the little woman in the interview. But a godly little woman. And we are godly people. We love God. You know when Brother Moore preached Sunday, and sure enough, I had to take a couple spankings myself. You know, I like to use the word just a nice reminder. Because I know it's been preached here many years. But you know, we all can get a little complacent. We all can get a little spoiled. We all can just sit down sometimes and get relaxed. And there's nothing wrong with that in some cases. But God's Son just said, hey, Jeremiah, hey, there's a little bit to do. A little bit of work to do. A little bit of protection to do. And that hits me so clear. I'm like, okay, yeah. And you know, it don't take me too long to even remember what to do. Because it's been preached. Amen. And just needed a reminder. Stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance. Amen. So that's all God was doing on Sunday. Hey, you're going to be more dedicated this year. This is a year to be dedicated. We're almost out of here. We should be more dedicated than we've ever been in our life. We got a treasure. We're getting out of here. This world really isn't our home, and we know it, and we've seen our names in the book. What better thing can I serve? It's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. And always will be. So let's turn over to Ephesians. I want to give you a few scriptures. A couple of quotes. I think they'll help us. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter. God's good to us. Go ahead. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, sometimes what's happened to a person has been so blessed. You know, at least that everybody shows fought through so much for us. And you elders have been here, had to fight through some of that. I'm at the borderline of that. It's all the end of it. But you know, some of us, we've just been born in the promised land. Right. I know and what they don't realize is you got to fight in the promised land too. Right. When they crossed over, that's where the major fighting happened. Yeah. But you weren't out there when you were in bondage under Egypt. Right. And all that. You kind of born when the walls were tumbling down. And it was a little bit, just blow the trumpet and it'll happen. And you have to get to that point. You're not staying on the other side of Jordan. We're supposed to be right here in the eighth day. We're supposed to be in the promised land, so to speak. We're right where we're supposed to be. Amen. But what you don't realize is you got to grab your sword. Yeah. Clean the land. Give me my mountain. Amen. Get rid of those giants. Amen. That's what we got to do. That's right. Ephesians, the second chapter. I'm going to do verse 8 through 10. I'm going to start at verse 8 just to remind you. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. I'm going to stop there one more time for you. You're not going to live good enough to make it to heaven. You're not going to keep a certain code of rules to make it to heaven. Brother Branham said in Christ is the mystery of God. I always like to quote. He said, people get the wrong idea and conception. They try to convert Christians to Christ and his government and his code of rules and his ethics. And that's not what it is at all. It's a new birth. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where God's dealing with you one-on-one. And it's a love affair. It's not a code of ethics. You're not getting to heaven by merit. Jesus paid it all. It's the gift of God. Protecting the word is not what's going to make you get to heaven. Let's put that out there. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't protect the word. Now let me read on. Because take care of itself. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now listen to this verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I know what the major work is. The major work is manifesting your day in his message. I know what it is. Believe on him who the Father has sent. I know what the real work is. But you know, when you believe on him who the Father has sent, you do the things that the man telling you that he sent is telling you to do. So run it all the way. If you believe him, you'll do what he's asking you to do. If you love me, Brother Lockett, you'll keep my commandments. I'm asking you to do this, you'll do it. Take up your cross and follow me. But in Christ Jesus, in the good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He said, Jeremiah, we're in the eighth day. We're at the end time. Why does it matter? Well, why do you come to church if it's the end time? You know, the people used to, at one point in time, well, we're in the eighth day. We don't need a fivefold ministry anymore. And just sit at home, that's a false. You're perfect on one side. You're not on the other. You ain't glorified yet. You need that fivefold ministry. Amen. We're still getting preached to. It matters because God has created us unto good works. He's got a job for us to do this age. We're the ones that are the angels guarding and protecting the word of God. Right. As long as we are here on this side, we got work to do on this side. Amen. It does matter how you live. It does matter what you express. It does matter if you protect this message or not, because if you don't protect it, nobody's going to want it.
That's right.
You'll have the greatest message on the face of the earth, and because you express something completely opposite of it, and God will even give you grace for that, and you're still going to heaven, and you know that by revelation, that even though you're doing things you know are wrong, you're not taking into account, you got other people watching you that wants to see what it has done in your life, and you need to protect the thing so that they'll see God walking around in you. Let me repeat that. Your bad living or whatever you want to call it, your mistakes ain't keeping you out of heaven. That's not the evidence. Believe in the word and being able to amend every word of God is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. If you can do that, you're signed, sealed, and delivered, regardless if you get the rest right. But what you can do is you cannot protect this word, protect this treasure, and people won't even want it. No earthly good. That's what Brother Chosen used to say. Heavenly bound, but no earthly good. Amen. God wants to use you. Amen. You're created unto good works. Now, let me read you this good quote I found today. Brother Branham in the Church Age book. He said, Revelation chapter 2, verse 19. I know thy works and love and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. That was the scripture. Now here's Brother Brown. Here again, we find the same introductory remarks. I know thy works. Now listen to this. The Son of God himself said, believe me for the very works' sake. He put an emphasis on his own works while on earth. Now listen to this next statement. This is the one that got me today. The works that he did were ordained of God to inspire faith in him. Now I know that what I want to be careful about, because I'm not trying to sit here and say, well, you got to do the Ten Commandments, and you got to do this, and you got to do that. Because like I said, people turn that into code of rules. But God is wanting to use you, is what I'm trying to say. God wants, is manifesting through you. Amen. And how he manifests through you can inspire others. Amen. It can protect this word. You know, I read that today, and I thought, it's funny when Micah got up today, I thought, well, when Micah gets up, doesn't that inspire you? A young person. You know, I always say works ain't always the long dress, but just somebody works. I want to testify. And it's a 15-year-old in the pits of hell in high school where it's hard not to want to fit in. And it's hard not to even profess God and not be made fun of. And he'll stand up and say, I can't wait to hear the word of God today. That inspires me. I need a reset. That inspires me. Amen. To see Sister Jennifer, who I know is quiet, who I know doesn't want to get in front of people. Right. Yet she'll stand up and walk around the lap around the church, or get up and testify when it's against her own nature. Amen. That inspires me. Amen. So when Brother Bram said that, I said, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I've seen it manifest in my own life. Amen. See somebody else do something, I thought, woo. Make me want to take a lap myself. It'll get me excited to see somebody turned on about God. And somebody I know is not in their personality. And out of the blue, they get up and just say three little words. Next thing I know, I'm ready for church more than I was ever ready for church. That's how your works can do something to somebody. You can be doing something for God, and little do you know, the preacher's sitting on the pew, not even feeling enthused. And next thing you know, he's ready to take over the service. Amen. All because you get up and testify. Amen. That's how much your works can inspire somebody. Amen. I'll speak for myself. Yes. I've had it happen to me, Brother Moore. Yes. It happens all the time. Amen. See somebody, and all of a sudden I can't help but cry because God's so good. Amen. It turns me on. Amen. You know, it's the greatest when it happens to you. I know when it happens to me, it's the greatest thing. Amen. But I love seeing people have what I have. Amen. When I have something good, I want to show them. Yeah. When I see something good, I was like, come see what I got. Yeah. That's what the little woman at the well did. Come see a man that told me all things that I've ever done. Yeah. That's what your work can do. It can inspire somebody. It can touch somebody. It can send them in the action. That's right. Yeah. You say, why does it matter, Jeremiah? Because what you do can inspire somebody. Yeah. Amen. We're in the eighth day. Well, we need some inspiration the eighth day. We need somebody to do something to inspire sometimes. Because I got a human part of me, Brother Moore. Comes in tired sometimes. Comes in battling of the mind because I'm carrying work in here with me. But let God get in the action a little bit. Let God use his body. Let God use his bride. And you watch me get inspired. That's how this thing will work. And I'm just giving you one little example. Couple little examples, but it happens all the time. Not just in here, it can happen out there. People are inspired by how your behavior is at work. People are inspired by you working hard. People are inspired by you being honest. People are inspired by you being the same every day. People want to work for you because you're a good person. Amen. And you inspire them. Amen. I've seen it happen all the time. You get a team behind the right kind of leader, they get inspired by that leader. Amen. And they will go to the ends of the earth for him. Amen. Well, that's what I want to do for God. That's what I want to do for Brother Moore. Amen. He's preaching the greatest message I've ever heard. Amen. He's got the greatest revelation on the face of earth I know. I'm speaking for myself right now. I don't know anybody I've ever met on the face of the earth, Brother Jim, that preaches me more truth that's alive today than Brother Moore. And I ain't worshiping a man, but my point in saying that is I want to be inspired to protect what he's given me, because I know how much it's helped me, and I don't want to be a reproach to what he's preaching. Oh, I got work to do is right. Like Elise said, I can always do more is right. Oh, but let us live up to that testimony. Help me, Lord. It's me. Standing in the need of prayer. My desire. And I'm not saying we're going to have it all right one day, one night. God deals with us day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. But I'm just telling you, I got inspired Sunday by what I heard. Lord, thank you for reminding me. I don't want to bring a reproach on this thing. I want my works to inspire somebody, not to hurt somebody. Now, this quote's got a lot more good in it. Let me read it to you. He put an emphasis on his own works right here, and that works they did ordained of God to inspire faith in him. It was a great part of his ministry. His Holy Spirit and the Apostle Paul said, "For we are his workmanship," that's the scripture just read, "created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Ephesians 2 and 10. Brother Bram repeats, these works were to inspire faith in him as they would show forth that relationship to him that Paul described as created in him. Now works, that's what I keep saying, and I'm glad we're going to repeat it here, will never take the place of faith in God for our salvation. I'll repeat that again. Now, works will never take the place of faith in God for our salvation. But works will show forth our faith already placed in Him. Good works won't save you, but they will come forth out of a saved life as fruit unto the Lord. Brother Branham says, I believe in good works. Even if a man is not saved, he ought to do good works and do the best he can.
That's right.
And he goes on there. But I just wanted to read that. That touched me today, reading that. He said, you're not even saved, you should do good works and do the best that you can. God help us. What he's really doing is rebuking us.
Yeah.
You're saved. What you doing? That's really what he's saying. Yeah. Even somebody not saved should do it. How about us saved people?
Yeah.
This is what Brother Branham's really saying. But all kidding aside, good works don't save you. But what they can do is show forth your faith, inspire somebody. And those works that you do can be part of that protection. You're not bringing a reproach to the word of the hour, the greatest treasure that you have. Now, I want to quickly jump over to James, the second chapter. These things all run. This Bible runs. What I love about being preaching a message like this is it's still not works. This is still not law. I haven't told you one thing you got to do today to be saved but believe the Word of God. Now, if you can tell me where I have said anything other than that, show me, because I'll correct that. But the only thing I got to tell you, the only thing to do to get to heaven is believe God. Works will never take the place of faith in God for salvation. You're saved by grace through faith, not of works, that any man should boast. But works will follow to express the life of God, to protect it, to take care of it. James, it's a small chapter, so give me a minute to get there. James, second chapter, verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Now, I read down here because I want to tell you, Brother Branham preached a message called Works is Faith Expressed. And he read this scripture. Then he went back and read the story of Abraham when he offered Isaac up because God wanted to sacrifice. He wanted to take his son that he promised him, and he took him all the way up and tied him down to the altar. Of course, you know, God provided a sacrifice and actually provided a lamb. But if you go read that in Genesis, that story, it actually says in there, "Now I know you love me." Think about that. Now I know you love me. Not just because you believe me, Abraham, but you actually brought your son up here and offered him to me. You're serious. You love me. You really do believe. So Brother Brandon went on, though, because Paul, in Romans, the 5th chapter, said Abraham believed God, and it was counted for him for righteousness. And I'm going to read the quote here in a minute, but I just feel good about saying that. Brother Brandon separated and rightly divided that so well for you. He said, it's what God sees, and it's what man sees. God sees your faith in him. God sees your belief. That's why the message is still the same today. There's only one evidence of the Holy Ghost. Believe in the Word of God. When you can punctuate every word of God with an amen, that's a sure sign that you're his child. And God knows that in your heart. He sees that belief. He knows that faith. And it's impossible to please God without faith. That's what he sees. And he knows the secrets of the heart. The word is sharp and able to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. He knows. He's a discerner. But man sees your actions. And that's what he says, the difference between what Paul and James was saying. And both are true. You're still saved by faith, but your actions are going to show the faith that you have to the world. That's how this thing works. And so works, faith without works is dead. It's no earthly good. Yeah, you're pleasing God with your belief, but how's he going to use you if you ain't willing to take that faith and put it into action and apply it to your life?
Amen.
And protect this thing. Amen. I'm just going back to the protection. That's what's inspired this message tonight, to be real honest with you. His brother Moore reminded me of that. I'll read this real quick for you. I can find it. No, it's all right. Here it is. Works of faith expressed, Brother Ram says, now the two men that were talking on faith, Paul justified Abraham by what God saw in Abraham, but James justified Abraham by what man saw in Abraham. See, now James says he's justified by his works. Paul said he's justified by faith. But see, Abraham believed God, and that's what God saw in him. He believed it. But then when he went to acting as though it was already done, that's what man saw in him. And that's the same as it is to us, because our works express what faith we have.
Amen.
He went on and said a lot of things, but believe. You got to believe. Only believe. If you do nothing else, believe.
Amen.
But where your treasure is, you give to it, right? And my main point is not just to preach works, to preach works, to create a goody two-shoes. I want to protect that treasure. I want to bring reproach to that treasure. I don't want to cast something so great, my pearl, to make it look bad. Don't let your good be evil spoken of, as Paul said, you know. And, you know, it was just a nice reminder of Brother Moore saying that on Sunday. I thought, Lord, you're right. And I've always known it matters how we live, but it was nice, a little bit, oof. Like, it does matter, Jeremiah. You can bring a reproach to this message. Or people won't come to your church, not because they don't love your preaching, because they don't see any fruit. And I don't want to do that. I want to be a fruit bearer. I don't want Jesus to walk by my tree and curse it. Say, you ain't no good to me. I want to be a fruit bearing tree. And the true fruit's the word of the season. We preach that around here. But that word of the season will get in your life and it'll take it over, and you'll be a vessel of God. And as Paul said, you'll have this treasure in earthen vessels. That same treasure that we're protecting is in you. And it will manifest out of you. And so that's why I asked, where's your treasure at? Because where it is, you'll protect it. You'll guard for it. You'll do for it. It will be the best thing in your life. And you know, I just had one scripture written down here I don't want to throw in for you. Romans, the 14th chapter. Just to show you, because I had a question written down here. Why does it matter? I think in the 8th day, sometimes That's a question the devil threw at you. Why does it matter if it's already done? Now, I'm going to tell you Romans 14, the whole chapter is a good one. I almost hate to jump down, just so you know. But I got to, because I got to save some time. I'm going to jump down to verse 12. Because he was talking about don't judge one another and all that, right? But verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. That's what I'm talking about, people. That's the protection. You might even have some things you do. You might eat meat and somebody else doesn't. Eat your meat, but just don't eat in front of them and hurt them. That's what Paul said. Don't put an occasion before them. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it's unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen, Brother Paul. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things are indeed pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And you can go on and on and on. But protect. Protect for your brother. Edify your brother. Inspire your brother and sister. Don't eat your meat in front of them. Don't just think nothing matters. It does matter. That's why even social media is like one of the worst things that ever happened to us. You can post everything out there and the whole world see it. And before you know it, you've eaten meat in front of your brother. But that's just one little thing. My main point is, where's your treasure? And we as believers, and I say that, we as believers, we love God and we know it. And I love God Sunday, but when Brother Moore talked about protection and talked about doing a little bit of works matter and all that, I thought, amen, Lord. Thanks for another nudge. Thank you for showing me the vision. And just remind me, like, Lord, we got things to do. And I don't want this greatest message to be hurt by me eating meat in front of my brother, so to speak. I'm like a cherubim today. I'm the eagle. I'm one of the four. I got the spirit of the eagle, God's spirit in me, and I'm here to protect this thing and manifest this thing and do what he's asked me to do. God bless you. Love you. Come on, Pastor Moore. Fix it up and do what you got to do. I do mean it.
That's a good question. Where are you putting your treasures? A treasure is something that's important to you. And as long as it's not important to you, you can't count it as a treasure. You might have something that you want to share, something you want to give, but it don't really mean that much to you. We got a bunch of shirts, and I asked for you for one. That doesn't mean nothing to give that. But be down to one shirt. I say, hey, Jeremiah, I want that. You know, you're going to protect that. And the thing is, we are, like you said, a messenger. In the hour that we're living in, we are the final protectors. We're the final protectors of the word. Everybody had a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little piece of this, a little piece of that. But nobody had this last piece but the eagle. The face of an eagle. And that eagle had the shortest period of protection that there is. If we can't protect now, in this little bit of space of time, and we will. We will. The protectors will. Everybody won't, but the protectors will. But you know what? I love it because out of everything that we say and do and preach, this place is so balanced. If we need to pull it in here, we pull it in there. If we forget we're supposed to be protecting, and God says you should be protecting, you're like, you know, oh yeah, I could do a better job of that. And that's what I was saying Sunday, and Jeremiah got it. He understood what I was saying. I was like, no, this eagle age, all the cherubims did was protect the word. And they are depending on you to protect this word. Because the word is what's going to get the dead up. If we say, we don't believe it's going to get up. Or we go off and say, well, you know, the dead are already up. And, you know, we're hitting on the body word of the Son of Man. And there's no rapture. And there's somebody's got, like Brother Childers stood up there and said, don't take away my marriage supper. Somebody's got to stand for the word. And you have been placed here to do that. Yes, that's why you're here. That's why you're at 1744 Superior. You say, well, what about everybody else? I can't talk about everybody else. I'm not there to protect that. All I can do is hold fast to that God has given us. And that's my job to protect that. But I'm not the only protector. I'm not. That's like me being the only eagle. I'm not the only eagle. It's the whole age. It's the entire bride. So if you're part of the bride body, then it's your job to protect. It's your job to stand up. It's your job to hold fast to that was given to you. And we will. Because we're ordained to do it. We're ordained to do that. We are the word. So it's good, Jeremiah. I enjoyed that. Yes. Where are your treasures? What do you count as treasure? I was thinking about, you know, we get caught up in about, you know, dressing and acting and trying to fit in with the world with everything. And Jeremiah made it so clear tonight, they're not really your friends. You're trying to hold up something that you don't even love. And they don't love you either. And only people that really love you like you really need to be loved is the bride. They're not judgmental. They're not holding things over your head. They're not trying to figure out, well, why did she wear that? Why did he wear that? Why did she do that? Why did he do that? No. The rest of the world, you'll never satisfy them. If you even try to act like them, you're going to be so different. It's like that little eagle that's in the chicken yard. He was hatched out under a chicken, and he was walking around the barnyard with the rest of the chickens, and he's trying to, you know, he saw how the chickens walk, so he's trying to walk like them. Trying to, you know, walking like a chicken, and they clucked, and he tried to cluck, and it sounded weird. Even the chickens turned around and looked at us like, because you don't fit. It's not your nature. It's not your life. There's something different about you that even when you were out in the world, they knew it. You know, I'm gonna tell you a little story that's a little funny to me. Now, I've got two friends, and me and Pete and Doug, we're friends, and we've been friends since Longfellow. That's grade school, before high school, before it was an alternative school. Just throw that out there. But we were friends, and we lost track of Doug, and Pete and I have been friends and hanging out, and some of you know him. And Pete said, told me, he said, I knew you were going to be a preacher. And I thought, that's weird. Because I wasn't doing anything different than anybody else was. But there was something about me. But you know what's so weird? We found Doug this month, just here recently. We found Doug. And so we're starting to message each other, and we start texting each other. And I told him I was a preacher. And he said, Nate, it doesn't surprise me. Without you even telling me. I thought, how far back does this go? We don't fit in with the world. And as long as you're trying to fit in with the world, all you're going to be is an eagle clucking like a chicken, trying to act like them, trying to make yourself fit in with the world when you don't belong out there. You have no problem coming in here and singing and sounding just like the rest of us eagles. Amen. You don't have any problem coming here and testifying. You tell your family you're taking them, and they'll look at you like, what in the world? Right. We are different. Amen. Quit trying to put a round peg in a square hole. You don't fit. You don't belong out there. You belong in here. Amen. Because you're an eagle. Your job is to protect. God raised you up personally to be the final protector of the Word of God in the hour that we're living in. Amen. Nobody else can do it. So quit trying to fit out there. Let it go. Let it go. Okay. Jeremiah read, you can't serve God and man. You'll hold to one and let go of the other. You'll cling to one and loose the other. You can't do both. Salt water and fresh water can't come out of the same faucet. Just realize you're an eagle. Settle it in your heart and mind and realize I'm a different bird. My job is to protect the word. My entire life is to protect the word. My treasures are in heaven. And that's what I'm here to do. And the sooner you do that, the sooner you'll settle back into who you really are. You'll quit trying to cluck like a chicken. And when you're around the chickens, let them cluck like a chicken. And you crow like an eagle. And you know what's going to happen? They're going to look at you like, who are you? And what did you? Where have you been? And you don't talk the same. You don't walk the same. You don't look the same. Something's happened to you. See, then you start testifying to them of that hope that lies within you. That's who we are. You don't realize, but that's who we are. We're eagles made for the hour that we're living in. Ordained for this. So hold your head up, little eagle. Don't be ashamed. Don't be shy. Don't try to fit in out there. You don't fit. This is the only place you fit. This is the only time you have peace, is when you're amongst the body. And I like what Jeremiah said. It's like our family. This is our family. You know, this is really our family. Oh, we've got our natural siblings, and we've got our cousins, and that's all. But you know what? I can't let go to them like I can let go to you. You know, Brother Bram said, I always like coming back to Jeffersonville, the preaching, because I feel at home there. I love, out of all the places I preach in the world, I can feel at home preaching here because I'm with my family. This is where we're putting our treasures up from. And thank God that we have this treasure in our earthen vessels. We're walking around here with that treasure. So God bless you. Come on, musicians. Jeremiah, I enjoyed that. I'm glad that he paid attention Sunday. And the thing I love about it, you finish preaching a message like this, and you still don't feel condemned. Because there is therefore now no condemnation. It's just saying, we got work to do, people. We can step it up. We can do a better job. Quit fighting your very nature. Because it's your very nature to be an eagle. An eagle doesn't have to fight being an eagle. He just is. And you don't have to fight being who you are. You just are. The fight comes when you try not to be who you really are. That's the fight. So God help us. Amen. Come back Sunday, and we'll take it from there. I enjoyed that, Jeremiah. Thank you, sir. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. That's in the key of D. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. I will magnify the Lord, for God is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, Hosanna. My salvation.
blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, I will magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Yes, I will magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna! Salvation. Oh, Hosanna. Oh, yes, blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. Yes, Hosanna.
Oh, blessed be